We're going through the book of Zechariah. And in Zechariah 10, really the theme verse, the center of the chapter, is the very first verse. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. The Lord is using an agricultural message to speak of a spiritual truth. You know, in Israel especially, they needed the early rain and then they needed the latter rain. And even in Wisconsin, you need the early rain and you need the latter rain. When the there's a critical stage, both in wheat and in corn, that they need rain. And if they don't have rain, the meat inside the kernel won't come. And with the corn won't won't be pollinated, and the kernels won't grow. A very key time in agriculture to have the latter rain. And in this chapter, we have a picture of Israel in its latter days. And what will be the key in their latter days? The key will be the blessing of God. And so just as rain brings blessing to the crops and to the economy, so the blessing of the favor of God is the key for the blessing of Israel in the last days. And of course, Zechariah is picturing, is in the setting of the blessing that the people need as they have returned to the land from captivity. And they need God's blessing to rebuild the temple. And the Lord is using that focus to remind them of their future and of the future day of Israel, that they're going to need the blessing of God. And of course, so the book shifts into the future, shifts into the day of the coming of the Messiah, shifts into the future of Israel when they're in belief and faith and they have received Jesus as their Messiah. And so we have a very central verse here. I think that there's some parallels here. I think there's some parallels that we can apply to life. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. You know, the psalmist said, anoint me with fresh oil. King David recognized that the anointing that he received of the Holy Spirit to become the king of Israel that enabled him to be a good king. In his latter years, he needed fresh oil. I think there's a parallel to the Christian. You know, the Christian life in the beginning is a great freshness. It's a great pouring out of the oil of the Spirit of God. There's a great life and great joy and great enthusiasm and great power and great vision and great hunger and great thirst for the things of God and great blessing. But you know, in the latter part of life, many times God's people need a fresh oil. Need fresh oil. And as the Lord said to the church at Ephesus, you need to return to your first love. And so there's this picture that in many Christians' lives that they need the latter rain to make their life what it ought to be. Oh, they got a good start, but you know what? They need the rain at the end so they can really have the harvest. They really have the fruit that God wants them to have. I think there's a parallel to not only older in the Lord, but older in the Lord and older people. What do we want to end our life in, defeat or victory? Want to end our life going down? Or do we want to go end our life going up in victory and new blessing? Well, there's a need. You know, there's a need. In our latter end of our life, there's a need to ask the Lord for the latter rain. In the time of the latter rain, there is a need to ask the Lord for that blessing, that working, that pouring out of His Spirit, that fresh oil. I think there's an application in the life of a church. In the life of a church. You know, when a church starts, boy, what a miracle when a church starts. What a miracle. The miracles of God's grace, miracles of God's power, God's provision. We constantly tell stories about the miracles of a new church and what God did and just amazing. But you know, in the latter days, churches need fresh oil. Fresh oil. We read in the New Testament how the church at Jerusalem, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Oh, they were excited about hearing the Word of God. And in fellowship, they took on the work of God, the Great Commission, going to all the world. Everywhere they were scattered, they were preaching the Word of God. They couldn't think of anything. Thinking other, you know, there was greater to do than to share the gospel and prayer. Oh, love to pray. And of course, breaking the bread. Speaking of the oneness, you know, the oneness, the one accord, the spirit of a new church that, is on fire for God. There's a oneness there. You know, it's all about God. It's all about being at church. It's all about serving God. It's all about doing right. It's great. That spirit. You know, I asked somebody, talked to someone about the work day. And they says, it was great. The spirit was great. The oneness of people being there because they wanted to. I saw the young people in school working with Pastor John on the flower beds. And I said, oh, that's so sweet. It's so sweet to have some kids in the school that the great most of them, it's exciting to serve the Lord. You know, that spirit. Well, you know what? The Bible tells us that churches need that in the latter end. Not the spirit of apostasy, not the spirit of compromise, not the spirit of worldliness, not the spirit of deadness, not the spirit of dryness and worldliness. No, they need rain in the latter. They need the latter rain in the time of latter rain. Now you might be here tonight. And you can say, you know what? I used to be on fire for God. I used to love God's Word. I used to love to hear the message. I loved to make, used to love to make decisions. And you know what? But you know what? It's not like that anymore. You know what? You need God. You need God. I say, left to ourselves, every one of us will make the wrong decisions. Left to ourselves, every one of us will go down. Left to ourselves, every one of us will get a spirit of compromise. Left to ourselves, every one of us will weaken and weaken and weaken. Now we need fresh oil. And the Lord is reminding Israel that's what they need. That's what they need. And they need to be conscious of what they need. And you know, it's sad when you think of Israel today. There was an article by David Cloud about the Hasidic Jews, who are the Orthodox Jews. And I started reading this and I said, you know what? This is so far from the truth. This is so far from the truth. It's can't think of the words that I would use to describe it. It's not even remotely biblical. It has this appearance, but it's not even remotely biblical. The God that they think that they're having a relationship with isn't anywhere close to the Bible God. Boy, I tell you what. Israel is in a terrible state of deadness. Terrible state of deadness. Now God is going to bring them to their end. And when we get to their end, I like what it says in Zechariah chapter number 12. And verse 10. It says, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. The spirit of grace and supplication. You know what the spirit of grace and supplication is? It's the spirit of wanting to pray. Wanting to pray. Wanting to call out to God. You know, sometimes you have to get to the end of yourself. You really know when you have the spirit of supplication is when you're in such need that it's easy to drop to your knees. And the Bible says that God's going to give them the spirit of grace and supplication. And they're going to want to pray to the real God of heaven. And so we find in Zechariah chapter 10, we find this great message. What do we need to do? What do they need to do? What is God saying? Ask. Ask ye of the Lord. That's what we're to do. That's what they need to do. Ask. That's pretty, it's kind of simple, but the fact is, what will it take for you or me or for them? Or someone at the end of their life? Or someone who has gotten used to Christianity? What will it take for them to come to the place where they can obey this command? Ask. You know, I'd say it's more like plead. Amen. More like plead. Ask. Isn't it amazing what it takes for someone to ask God for anything? But to really ask for His, to really plead with God. It requires coming to the end of ourselves and seeing things the way God says, ask ye the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Rain, the symbol of God's blessing. The symbol of God's blessing, rain. Just as rain is the is the key to the growing of the crops. And it comes from God. It's a symbol of God's blessing. So we need God's blessing. Ask the Lord. And it says, ask the Lord. Who should we ask? Now notice, verse 2. They were asking the wrong people. They were seeking the wrong things. For the idols have spoken vanity, the diviners have seen a lie, and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore, they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd. Mine anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punished the goats. For the Lord of hosts hath visited the flock of the house of Israel. Well, now, we're going to ready to ask the Lord because they had been asking the idols. They had been following the false prophets. They had been following their spiritual leaders who were leading them astray, leading them to idol worship. Perhaps at this time, they're reminded that Israel had a constant habit of marrying unsaved people. And when they married unsaved people, what came into their house? Maybe after the captivity, they got over this worshiping idols at an idol temple. But by intermarriage, they would marry heathen people, and they would bring their household gods with them. And what was the result? Verse 3, my anger was kindled against the shepherds. And I punished the goats. You know, in Israel, every sheep farmer has goats. The goats lead the pack. The sheep follow the goats. I never knew that before. And and they would say that these goats are representative of the civil leaders, the heathen leaders. They were following them. They weren't following the Lord. And as a result, obviously, they experienced the anger of the Lord. And they were in great troubles for many years, and now, and as we would look at it, for 2,000 years, they've been listening to the Talmud and to the Mishnah and to all these writings of the false prophets, and they've suffered and been in great difficulty, the nation of Israel. Why? Because they didn't ask the Lord. Now, there's a parallel here. Who are you following? You know, when you get saved, there's someone you're supposed to follow. And, you know, churches are supposed to follow the Lord. They're not supposed to follow the world. Not supposed to follow the world's advice. They're not supposed to adopt worldly methods. But that's really what's kind of going on today, isn't it? You know, I think it was Willow Creek 10 years ago. They found out that 98% of their so-called converts were nowhere. And they were the model of church growth. 98% were nowhere. Why? Because worldly methods, worldly goals, and is like unto Israel. And so there is the great picture here of what Israel is. What we need, what Israel needs, what every Christian needs. How do we want to end That's the big question. How do we want to end our life? How do we want to end our life? We want to end it with God's blessing, God's power, God's provision, the favor of the Lord, spiritual power. Isn't that kind of blessing? You know, you hear this carload coming from the university, and the whole way there and back, they're talking about spiritual things. What happens when we get together in our cars? What are we talking about? Get a gathering together. What are we talking about? You know what? I think it's a picture. We need the latter rain. Amen. The things of God need to be exciting again. Souls need to be the focus of our attention again. Forget about the world. Forget about all this worldly stuff that doesn't mean anything. All this entertainment, all this sports stuff. It doesn't mean anything. It's empty. You know, I'm thinking, like Ravenhill said, you know, Christians that just have to be entertained. Oh, they just got to be entertained. They got to have some video they're watching. They got to do this. They got to go there. They got to watch this. They got to, you know, they got to be entertained. You know why? Because God isn't good enough. God isn't satisfying. They got to have something else. Well, I tell you what, Jesus told the woman at the well, I'll give you water that you'll never thirst again. Amen. He said, I'll give you the Holy Spirit in John chapter 7, and the Holy Spirit will be in you, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's the relationship that we need to be having with God, that He is all we need, and we rejoice in it. I want to look at the chapter a little bit about the blessing of God on Israel. And the Bible says in verse 3, the Lord of hosts has visited His flock, the house of Israel, the house of Judah. And of course, when you see that word Judah, you recognize that the Messiah was of the house of Judah. And immediately, the inference is made here of the coming Messiah. It says, out of him, verse 4, out of Judah came forth the corner. Out of him the nail. Out of him the battle bow. Out of him every oppressor together. And they shall be as mighty men which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. And they shall fight because the Lord is with them. As the riders on horses shall be confounded. I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them, for I have mercy upon them. And I like this next phrase. And they shall be as though I had not cast them off. And they shall be as though I had not cast them off. For I am the Lord their God and will hear them. Here is a picture of Israel in the latter days, the blessing of God upon them. It says, it will be as though I had not cast them off. And you think of how God delivered Israel out of Egypt, how He did those great miracles, how He gathered together, how He parted the Red Sea, how He parted the Jordan. We see the failure of Judah, beginning with Solomon and et cetera, et cetera. He says, oh, those bad years, it will be as though they never happened. It's be as though they never happened. The blessing of God would be so great. You know, what do you think the devil wants you to think? You know, the devil wants you to think, oh, you failed. You might as well just give up. Know what the devil wants you to think? You know, I made some mistakes. And you know, I'm not what I used to be. And you know what? I might as well just give up. That's the devil. You know, a lot of preachers, they're tempted just to throw in the towel. Well, might as well just go, let her go down the tube. Might as well just give in, give up the standards, give up the goals, give up the plan. You know, let's just let it be a nice little, social club. Give up. No, he says, you know what? It can be what it ought to be. Don't give up. You know, the end of our lives can be what they ought to be. The end of our lives, you know what? He said their blessing would be as though I had not cast them off. Of course, the Bible gives these great pictures of what Israel will be like in those days. But I think it's a great word of encouragement to all of us right here tonight. That latter rain will be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Lord their God, and I will hear them. The Lord said, call unto me. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The temptation of life is to say, okay, I'm going to stop asking God for big things. I'm going to stop asking God for great things. I'm going to stop asking God, you know, to do something great. I failed. I'm too old. No. He said, I will hear them. The future of Israel is going to be glorious. But there's a lesson for you and I. Hope that we're taking it tonight. Hope we're taking that lesson tonight. It says, and they have Ephraim, verse 7, shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as though as through wine. And this isn't talking about this isn't talking about alcohol. That's a twisted joy. You know, in a godly home, there's joy in the provision of God. In a godly home, there is joy in the exquisite provision of God of great things. You know, that's a completely different joy than the world, isn't it? And that's what it's talking about. You know, it's the joy of a godly man. In the godly family, godly person, godly farmer. God is blessed. But the blessing is not just physical, it's spiritual. You know, we got to make sure we get that together. You know, that's what happens a lot of times. People forget the fact that, you know what, the things of the world have no meaning if you aren't serving God with all your heart. You know, I don't know what it is that you might enjoy doing in life. But I tell you what. It'd be empty. There's a, you know. We've got a bunch of shed builders here. You know. Shed building can be kind of exciting. But you know, if you're not serving God, it's empty, isn't it? If it isn't a part of the big plan of serving God, you'll never be satisfied. You could never make enough money. It would never make, there wouldn't be any satisfaction in it at all, would it? No. The Bible tells us, Verse 7, and they of Ephraim shall be like mighty men, a man, and their heart shall rejoice as though through wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad. Their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them. And they shall increase as they have increased. And I will sow them among the people. And they shall remember me in far countries. And they shall live with their children and shall turn again. Here we find that even in the disbelief and the punishment and the scattering of the Jews all over the world, that Bible says that God is increasing them. And they will be gathered in a multitude as they turn to the Lord in the millennium. And I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt and gather them out of Assyria. And I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and place shall not be found for them. In other words, there is going to be such a great crowd that God's going to bring back to the promised land. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. And he shall pass through the sea with affliction, and shall smite the waves in the sea, and all the deeps of the river shall dry up, and the pride of Assyria will be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart away. And here we find that as God regathers Israel to come into the land, every hindrance would be put aside. And it will be like a freeway, a highway from all ends of the world as he regathers the people of Israel. And as they were scattered in judgment, as they were scattered in disbelief, there will be a great regathering. The Bible says in verse 12, and I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, saith the Lord. The great blessing of the people of God in the millennium is Israel will be what God intended them to be, what he called them to be, the people of God, the people of faith, the people of rejoicing, the people who are bringing glory to God through their lives. He said, ask, ye of the Lord reign in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. You know, some of you have been around here a while. Al, Greg, been here quite a while. Connie. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Ask for of God for a new reviving of the work of God. That the Mequonago Baptist Church can be what God wants it to be. Soul-saving station. A place where the people love the Word of God. You know, I remember Mr. Eka told me that, we weren't going to come to Mequonago Baptist Church because we heard they had three-hour services. And, you know, I'm not sure we had quite three-hour services. But you know what? Maybe we did. But it didn't seem very long. You know, we had about an hour of singing. And, you know, we didn't have any special music because there wasn't much special music. If you want to know what kind of special music you need to want to know was the fact that I was a member of the first quartet. That tells you a lot, doesn't it? Those guys must have had a lot of grace. They were put up with me. We had 1 hour of singing. 1 hour of testimonies and at least an hour of preaching. I remember one time I preached short. And a man in the church came on the way out. He says, "Pastor, you know, you preach kind of short tonight. I want some of my money back." He wanted the full load. You know, I say that a real Baptist comes to church to get something. A backslider, or I say this, maybe it's not true, Catholics go to church to get out. Right? They go to church so they can get out as soon as possible. But you know, a real believer, they come to church to get something. It's not a clock. It's not a clock. You know, that's old-fashioned Christianity. You know, when I was in Bible college, Dr. Cedarholm said, "Don't worry about the bell." We don't care about the bell around here. Of course, the fourth hour teachers, that was a little bit of a bother to them. But he said, "We don't care about the bell around here." He says, "If the Spirit of God falls on this place and there's revival, just keep preaching. We're not stopping this service for anything. Because there's something more important than anything, and that's the Spirit of God falling down on this place." One time a preacher told Dr. Shearholm, says, "Now, Dr. Shearholm, our church is over at noon. And, you know, you need to be over at noon." And Dr. Shearholm says, "Well, brother, but what about if the Spirit of God falls down on this church? Should we stop, or should we keep the service going?" Well, I think the issue is, you know, the reality is, what is church if the Spirit of God doesn't fall down? What is it if there's not revival? Isn't that what it's all about? You know, you probably heard the story. We're meeting down the house. I think it was probably pretty close to ...1979. And Mrs. Womble lived in that house over there. She was recovering from cancer. She went to a different church, and we moved in, and she started coming to church. And I don't remember who all was there that Sunday morning, but it's a unique situation. There's about this much room between this. The aisle was about this wide, and there was no end aisle. You know, you had to get in the pew, and the pews were so close together, you didn't get out unless the people in front of you got out. And so there's about this much room between myself and the back wall and the pulpit. And there's about that much room between the pulpit and the first pew. And that Sunday, we gave the invitation. And somebody was keeping track. We sang All for Jesus 37 stanzas. 37 stanzas. And how'd it go? Well, someone would come forward. And we were a pretty young church, so I dealt with them right there in the front. Showed them the Bible, answered, prayed with them. They went back to their seat. They went back to their seat. And then next person knew they could come out. And they would make a decision. And I'd deal with them. They go back. And 37 stanzas later, invitation was over. You know what? I suppose that some people would have thought the invitation was too long. But if you were making a decision for God, it wasn't too long, was it? It was real. Now, what would you rather have? Would you rather have a service that nobody makes a decision so you can get home? Or would you rather be in a service that people keep on making decisions for God and over, keep making decisions, and the Spirit of God has fallen down in that place? What would you rather have? That's a good question, isn't it? Remember that? Well, were you playing the piano? You were playing the piano. Did you count? I was told it's 37 stanzas. Pardon me? Yeah, I think he would be the kind of person that would count. Yeah. 37. Now, that's a good question. What would you rather have? You'd rather have a church service that the invitation is given and it's over, no one makes any decision, so you can get home? Or you'd rather have a real thing where God's moving? What would you rather have? What's more important to you? Do you have the real thing? Or do you have fake Christianity? There's a lot of fake Christianity. And you know, all of us probably are here tonight would say, you know, there's a time in my life in which I was so far away from the Lord, I wish that the service would be over really fast. You know what I mean? I wish it'd be over because I want to get out of here. I want to be in church, but I want to be out of here. You know, and I've been in churches that are kind of like that. You know, I've been in churches where, you know, they start the service off. They sing one hymn and they pray and then they sing another hymn and then they preach a few minutes and everybody's gone. You know, and the service is over, you know, 40 minutes. And I say to myself, you know, what's going on here? Is their whole object just to get here and get out? Or are they really planning on God doing something? Or they want God to do something? You know what I'm saying? When he says, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of latter rain, putting it in common terms, I think it's, you know what? Let's pray that we have the God of heaven who does the real thing. Amen? The God of heaven who does the real thing. We need to be in a place that we need to want God to do the real thing. I've said this over and over. I was talking to a preacher the other day, and he says, I went to this church, and you know, the preacher said, you know, something like, well, you know, and I'm sorry, there's some good churches that do this, but this is my opinion. They had morning service, and then they have a little snack. You know, and then they have the evening service. And I said, you know, did you ever have a class after lunch in college? You ever have a class after lunch in college? Oh, that was like a curse. Man, you couldn't stay awake, you know. Well, what do you think's happening in a church that they're going to have the evening service right after they had a meal? You know what? This is just my opinion. You know what? That's the beginning of the end. That's the beginning of the end. It's all about, man, I'm tired. I want to get home. I want to get this over with. What are you going to do the rest of the day? The rest of the day is the Lord's day. Amen? There's 9 hours left of the Lord's day. What are you going to do with it? Live for yourself? You're going to miss out. And we could be honest with ourselves. We can say, Lord, I need you something in my life. I need a new fervor for God. I need a new fervor for souls. I need a new fervor for the Word of God. I need a new fervor to really love souls and be a witness and not be ashamed. I want to, God, bring me back to a place where I'm usable for you. Those of us that are here that are, you know, older, I won't say how old that is, but we need to pray for the latter rain. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, just as Israel needs rain, the latter rain, just as the fields need the latter rain, Lord, every Christian needs the latter rain. Every person who's been saved for any period of time needs the latter rain. Lord, any person who is getting in the last 20% of their life, even 10%, Lord, they need the latter rain. Any church that's been around for a while, Lord, unless they're in revival, they need the latter rain. Lord, might you use this truth in our lives. And Lord, there's a simple command. There's a simple command. It's ask. Ask the Lord. The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the God of our salvation, the sovereign God with whom nothing is too hard. Ask the Lord. Now, Lord, I think all of us, in some degree or the other, would say, you know, I should ask the Lord. But Lord, we need more than just a little prick. Lord, we need the convincing of the Spirit of God. We need to see our real condition. We need to see our absolute need of you to work in our lives. Lord, might there be right in this church, Lord, a great outcrying of the people of God. Oh God, give us the latter rain. Give us the real thing. Give us the refreshing. Give us, Lord, a New Testament church where the Word of God is loved, the preaching is loved, serving God is loved, living godly is loved, witnessing is loved, souls saved and growing are loved. Oh God, give us the latter rain. Head bowed and eyes closed. The Lord is dealing with you tonight. You don't have to raise your hand, but you do need to respond to what the Lord wants to do in your heart tonight. Maybe you need to just ask God that He would begin to work in your heart so you could ask Him for the latter rain. Maybe there would be a group of the old timers that say, let's call back for the great days of revival. Let's get serious about it. Let's have some prayer meetings. Let's just pray and pray and pray. Ask God for the latter rain. Maybe you're been saved a little bit and you lost the fervor. That's not God's plan. No. Ask the Lord the latter rain. Maybe you're here tonight and you haven't been saved. You never got the showers of blessing. You just You just made a profession. The real thing is great. You need the Lord Jesus. Ask Him. Ask Him to save you. Heads bowed and eyes closed, you say, before the Lord. The Lord stirring my heart. I'm not satisfied with where I'm at spiritually. I need the intervention of God in my life in a real special way. I need the latter rain. Maybe you're part of the old part of this church and you'll say, you know what? Let's pray for the day's revival again. Maybe you're somewhere in the middle. Let's pray that the future of this church is the real thing. Heads bowed and eyes closed, you say, Pastor, God's speaking to my heart. This is where I'm at. This is what I recognize we need. The latter rain, the blessing of God. Pastor, pray with me. God has spoken my heart. And I know He's stirring my soul for that, even tonight. Anyone here tonight? Okay. Amen. Amen. You're here tonight and you're not saved. You don't know the Lord. You don't know Him. You need to turn from your sin and turn to the only one that can save you, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, rose again. Say, Pastor Roberts, I'm not saved. I need to be saved. Would you pray for me? I need to turn from my sin and turn to Christ. I need God to work in my heart that I gladly will turn to Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. Would you pray for me? I'm not saved, but I need to be. Anyone here tonight? Just lift up your hand wherever you might be. I'm not saved, but I need to be. Okay, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can put that hand down. God bless you. You can put that hand down. I'm not saved, but I need to be. Pray for me. Pray that God will bring me to that place where I will gladly turn from my sin and turn to Christ and receive Him. Anyone else? Lord, you see the hands. And Lord, we pray that you would meet with us, Lord, in a unique and special way. And Lord, might the prayers of God's people be so real that even those who are not praying would be affected by it. That revival would spread in this church, Lord. Revive those, Lord, as we, Lord, lose our zeal, lose our fervor, lose our faith, and become nonchalant. Lord, work in our hearts. We pray for those that need to be saved. Oh, Spirit of God, I pray in your mercy, work in their precious souls that they might know you, the living God, and the Lord Jesus, the Savior, who wants to wash away all their sins and give them a new heart. Lord, work, we pray, that you could be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.